Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people stories and events in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with my co-host, Greta Anderson.
Thanks for joining us today. This is Memorial Day. It's been a pretty wet weekend so far. What do we know about the weather for today?
Well, it's mostly cloudy with a high near 78, and throughout the day there's about a 30% chance of thunderstorms. Let's hope that the weather holds for what everybody has planned for today.
Memorial Day was originally called Decoration Day and started as a way to honor military personnel who died in the Civil War. Over the years, it has come to serve as a day to remember all U.S. men and women killed or missing in action in all wars. It was celebrated on May 30th for decades, but in 1971, Congress established Memorial Day as a federal holiday on the last Monday in May.
Today's Memorial Day parade in Ames starts from City Hall at 10:30 a.m. and goes north along Clark and then east along 9th Street to the Ames Municipal Cemetery. Anyone, especially any veteran wishing to walk in the parade, is welcome. And the parade participants are gathering in the parking lot on the west side of the City Hall at 5th and Clark at 10 a.m. In case of rain, the parade is canceled and the program will be indoors at the Ames Municipal Auditorium at 11 a.m.
The program at the cemetery begins at 11 a.m. and the main speaker is Brigadier General Jennifer Walter, Chief of Staff of the Iowa Air National Guard. We are privileged to have General Jennifer Walter with us by telephone. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome.
If it's all right with you, Jennifer, I'd like to introduce you briefly. Brigadier General Walter began her military career in the Kansas Air National Guard in 1975 and in the same year transferred to Iowa. She became Chief of Staff at the Iowa Air National Guard in 2012. Brigadier General Walter has been deployed to Kuwait and also served as commander of the 755th Air Expeditionary Group at Bagram Air Base, Afghanistan. She has been awarded the Bronze Star, the Afghanistan Campaign Medal, the Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, and numerous awards and decorations for her meritorious service. She holds a Bachelor of Science degree in management from Upper Iowa University and is currently a full-time student at Iowa State.
The Brigadier General is going to be the main speaker today in the Memorial Day service in Ames, and you're speaking with us by phone, so where are you exactly right now?
Well, right now I'm at my home in Indianola.
Oh, wow. So you've got a ways to travel still till you join us in Ames.
Yes, it's not too bad.
You'll be the keynote speaker at today's ceremony. Can you give us an idea of what you're planning to share with your speech?
Yes, primarily it is the significance of Memorial Day. The number of Iowans that we have lost in military service over the years. And that's really the primary message, is just the importance of the day.
Can you give us a little bit of a preview? What does the day mean to you?
Taking a moment to recognize our servicemen and women's sacrifice that they've made so that we can enjoy parades and picnics and all the fun things that we like to do today.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Afghanistan for about 6 months. Definitely saw the effects of a war-ravaged country, for sure. Portions of that country are very desolate and a lot of remnants from the Soviet invasion. I know it's hard on families. My husband is retired military, and I know both sides of the coin as far as long deployments, how hard it is on the family members. I have not lost an immediate family member to death in military service, so I can only imagine the suffering that those families go through. So when you look at the numbers of men and women who've lost their lives since the Civil War, it's astounding, really, the magnitude of the numbers of people that have lost their lives or given their lives.
And also the family members that they were close to.
Yes.
For those of us who are civilians, can you help us understand a little bit better what the Air National Guard is? I was trying to figure it out the other night, and as I understand it, it's overseen by the state rather than federal government. Is that correct?
That's correct. Until we're mobilized or federalized, I guess you might want to call it. Day to day, as Guardsmen, we serve under Governor Branstad. And if we're mobilized, called to active duty service, as in most recently Iraq and Afghanistan, then we fall under the President of the United States and we are on active duty and we're the same as any active duty unit.
In daily life, are you actually actively in the military now?
I used to be full-time. I was called a military technician in 2012.
What is a military technician?
I was full-time, wore the uniform every day, but I was civil service employee during the week. I was required to be a member of the Air National Guard, so one weekend a month and then 2 weeks a year military.
What was after that?
I was promoted to Brigadier General, and I moved to headquarters, Iowa Air National Guard. And I remained in the military, but I retired from my full-time position. So I work basically one weekend a month and 2 weeks a year or more. Hardly anybody works just 2 weeks a year anymore. That's really what the Guard is all about.
Thank you.
Does that help?
It does, yeah. It's always kind of a mysterious land because there's so many different divisions and so many ways that it's implemented. What exactly do you do as a Brigadier General?
Well, I work directly for the Adjutant General of Iowa and the three air units. We have one at Sioux City, the 185th Air Refueling Wing. We have a detachment of the 185th at Fort Dodge, the 133rd Task Squadron. And then we have the 132nd Wing in Des Moines.
You're overseeing those?
Yes, correct. And those three units fall under the organizational chart for me. Then we have a very small group at headquarters, Iowa Air National Guard in Johnston.
Is there something in particular that you would like to impart in terms of what you would like this day to mean?
Of course, it's wonderful if families attend. I think the true message of Memorial Day is so that we do not forget what all these people have done before us and to protect our freedoms. And it's just important to keep that message out there as a tradition so that people don't forget why we are recognizing the people today.
I'm sure everybody has at least one person in their life that they can think of that would specifically apply to.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you so much for joining us. You are actually a student at Iowa State University?
Yes, I am.
What are you studying?
Landscape design in the horticulture department there.
Do you commute or how does that work?
I do commute. So today won't be really that bad. I'm used to doing that.
You're used to doing it. Thank you so much for taking the trouble to join us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we were speaking with Brigadier General Jennifer Walter, Chief of Staff of the Iowa Air National Guard. She'll be the keynote speaker for the Memorial Day ceremony held today at 11 a.m. in the Ames Cemetery at 310 East 9th Street. And thank you for joining us this morning.
By the way, at the ceremony, she is introduced by Herman Quirnbach, president of the Ames Patriotic Council. And I asked Senator Quirnbach what the Ames Patriotic Council is, and he told me that this council is a group of people that are made up of representatives from several dozen service organizations, and they organize the Memorial Day and Veteran Day ceremonies. They are also the organization that proposed and initiated the Ames Veterans Memorial at the northeast corner of Grand Avenue and Fifth Street. After the ceremony today, the American Legion Post 37 is offering lunch at 225 Main Street, which is their headquarters. And David Rabine from the American Legion is going to be joining us later in the show today to tell us a little bit about the American Legion.
When the night has come and the land is dark, when the moon is the only light we see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. Oh, darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. If the sky we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountains should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. Oh, darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. That was Tracy Chapman singing Stand By Me on The David Letterman Show. We have been talking about the meaning of Memorial Day. This day is to honor soldiers who gave their lives. But Memorial Day has a secondary meaning as well. It is also the gateway to summer for most of us. Cindy Hicks has stopped by to talk about summer in downtown Ames. Cindy is the new executive director of Main Street Cultural District, and perhaps we can get to know a little more about her as well as what we can look forward to this summer.
For starters, tell us, what are the main attractions this summer? What do we have to look forward in downtown Ames?
Well, in just under 2 weeks, we're going to open the summer festival season, I suppose you could say, with Art Walk. It's the 20th annual Art Walk in downtown Ames. It's June 5th. It kicks off at 5 o'clock in the evening, goes to about 8. You'll meet more than 40 local artists showcasing their talents. And actually, I think we are over 40 now registered and still have 2 weeks to go. They'll also be showcasing local businesses up and down the street. So each business that it's involved is hosting an artist for the night, and it could be a painter, a potter, just all kinds of different artwork up and down the street.
Artists will actually be inside of the businesses in downtown?
It depends on whether or not their art allows for it. Some of them are quite large. We have a gentleman who's been featured on several local news programs who is a blind woodworker, and he makes large pieces of furniture. And so I think some of his stuff may be outside. We have a potter who will actually be throwing pottery, and that involves some water and a little messiness. I think he'll be outside. So there'll be some that'll be outside, some that'll be inside. We have a paint and sip activity at Della Vitti, the wine bar, where you can go in and actually paint your own picture. That'll be inside. There'll be live music. In fact, I think you guys are hosting a band here at KHOI.
Yes, we're erecting a large canvas on our wall next to the musician. We have about 8 or 9 artists who are going to be improvising a doodle mural. We're going to be interpreting his music, making doodles, accompanied by a sculpture of decorated paper coffee cups.
Well, and you know, that's one of the fun things about this art walk. There are all kinds of opportunities for the participants to not only see art, which is what you think of when you think art walk. Oh, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to see art. Well, you can become involved. You can see art in action, people actually performing their art. And mm-hmm. you can take home a piece of art that is your own. So I think it goes way beyond just looking at art.
Maybe we should have supplies there for people to make their own doodles.
A group of Iowa State University students were charged with finding a way to get people involved, an interactive art project, and they came up with a paint a pet rock. We're going to have a little station out on the sidewalk where people can paint and take home a pet rock. There will be a sidewalk chalk art contest for kids, so kids can get involved. Just all kinds of fun activities that evening.
This has been going on for a while in Ames, right?
It has been. When I actually started 2 months ago, one of the very first things I was thrown into was Art Walk. I was like, they were like, okay, we got to plan Art Walk. And so I started looking because having no knowledge of what Art Walk was about here, I wanted to first see what we had done in the past and discovered that this has been going on for 20 years. It's very interesting. And I'm not sure that anybody to that point had looked, well, when did we actually start this? And I was like, hey, look, this is the 20th anniversary of this event.
Has this always been a project of the Main Street Cultural District?
Since the Main Street Cultural District began. Uh-huh. Art Walk started way before the Main Street Cultural District was in place.
20th anniversary of Ames Art Walk is happening
on June the 5th.
June the 5th.
It will be up and down Main Street and the side streets off of Main Street. Basically, in the Main Street Cultural District, as a participant, you come down, park your car, find the first balloon. We'll have balloons tied to the meters in front of the participating merchants. It starts at 5 p.m.
5 p.m.
So if you can find your way to the first balloon, you'll get a map that will take you to every other one.
And be sure to come and visit us at KHOI.
Is that a Friday?
It is a Friday. Also that night, the Octagon Arts Center is having an artist opening reception. Design on Main is having an artist opening reception. And the folks that put the sculptures out on the street, that is their opening night too. So
who has put the sculptures out on the street?
Yeah, the Art Commission, and they have a subcommittee that is in charge of doing that. They're up and down Main Street, of course,
and gotten really good responses so far.
Very, very fascinating artwork.
Little metal cardinals.
Yes.
Very sweet. Okay, Foodies and Brew.
Foodies and Brew is coming up in August. That's August the 14th, and we are just starting the planning for that. So I can't tell you a lot about that other than it will be August 14th and it starts at 6:30. This year we are tossing around the idea of having a local microbrew section where there are beers that are made right here in Ames. And we have three breweries, two of which are in the Main Street Cultural District. And so we want to feature our local made beer plus all of the wonderful food that you can find in Ames, and it's really amazing.
Last year they were saying that it was appetizers, but you literally had like a 5-course meal. It was a very, very...
Yeah, I think it's going to be very nice. Coming up here on June 19th, we have the Ames Main Street Bike Night, which will be the first time.
Tell us what that is.
It's sponsored by Zylstra Harley-Davidson. It'll take place on Douglas between Main and 5th Street. The street will be closed off. There will be a live band, the J. Clyde Band. There will be a beer garden. There will be barbecue vendors. That same night, we have Ames on the Half Shell, kind of just up the block. So there will be a couple of different live music venues for people to enjoy that night.
Now, when you say bikers, you're referring to motorcycles.
Motorcycles,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And on Main Street, there will be a little area where there will be motorcycle parking only, and people are really excited about it. When we first brought up the idea, we were like, well, we don't know if this, you know, will work or not. Will people be interested in coming in to something like that? And we have discovered that not only are people who ride motorcycles interested in coming, there are a lot of people who like to just look at them or, you know, hear their motors or talk to people. And So, yeah, it's going to be a good event.
Anybody who has a motorcycle that's invited, or how is it organized?
Yeah, anybody who has a motorcycle, anybody who doesn't have a motorcycle, you can ride your bicycle down if you just appreciate motorcycles and want to look at them, or if you appreciate live music and barbecue and want to come down for that. There are all kinds of things to enjoy that night.
Folks are going to be invited to come and park their motorcycles on Main Street?
Yes, and the street won't be closed. You can still drive up and down the street, so if you just want to drive by and look at all the motorcycles.
This is a new event, right?
It is a new event, and it's an event that's been highly successful in other communities. I can think of Indianola in particular, where they literally draw thousands of people to their square every single month, and I think it'll be a fun event.
Okay, and then we have Firefly Country Nights?
Yes, Firefly Country Nights. That is going to be a lot of fun, featuring the country band Gloriana. And they're very popular on country stations right now. Their third album comes out June the 5th. So expect to start hearing some new music from them here really soon, being played on the country stations. And then you can see them in person playing their new music on June the 9th, right on Main Street. We will have a couple of opening acts. Casey Musigman, who is an Iowa native, but he was also a contestant on The Voice. Another country band called Country Two-Step. And then, of course, the main act is Gloriana. We will have barbecue vendors that night again also. Most of Main Street will be closed off, roped off.
Yes, I remember last year this event, I think, was the first time they did
it
drew quite a large crowd.
Highly successful, drew a large crowd. Then it was also recognized by the governor at the Main Street Iowa Awards at the beginning of May as one of the best events in Iowa last year. So, and this year, well, let me back up. It was recognized as one of the best events in Iowa, and they had less than 8 weeks to plan it last year. This year, the planning has been going on basically since the one last year closed down. So there is every reason to believe that this year's is going to be bigger than and better than.
It's going to be best in the country this year.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we got to talk about 4th of July. Last year's 4th of July was pretty hard to top. What do we have this year?
This year, the Main Street Cultural District is in charge of the parade, but the Independence Day celebration in Ames is much bigger than just the parade. So the day starts off at City Hall with the pancake breakfast, which is always a popular annual event for folks in Ames. Then from there, you can go down on Main Street. From 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we have the Bill Riley Talent Competition. The winner of that, of course, advances to the competition at the State Fair. That will be held at Main and Burnett, I believe, is where we have the stage for that. Then from 11 a.m. till about noon or 12:30, depending on how many entrants there are, you have the parade along Main Street, and it goes up Main Street from Burnett to Douglas, then across the 6th Street and back to the City Hall where it ends up. So, you know, that will be a good time for everybody to come out and wave your flags and celebrate Independence Day. Then at noon, the Farmhouse Museum over at Iowa State University is having their 40th annual celebration that they opened as a museum 40 years ago. They have several events planned, kind of traditional type family fun events. They're encouraging people to come out and have a picnic at the Farmhouse Museum. So you could really have all day fun that day. The night before July 3rd, there's the annual fireworks put on by the Ames Young Professionals Group. So it's going to be a really nice weekend. Friday, Saturday, you have Sunday to recover before you go back to work on Monday.
Okay, well, thank you. Anything else that we should know about? Of course, you have the farmers market every Saturday, and you have the band shell performances. Is there anything else?
Every single weekend, there are events going on in downtown Ames. You don't have to wait for a special weekend. You can go to amesdowntown.org and go to our event calendar. It's right on the front page at the bottom, and you can find something going on all the time downtown, not to mention that it's a wonderful place to shop and eat and find live music. So, I would encourage people to come down at least once a week.
Okay. Well, yeah, downtown Ames has become a little bit of a destination for just enjoying community life.
It is definitely a gem.
Yeah. So tell us just real briefly, just so we can get to know you a little bit better, what are your personal goals for downtown Main Street Cultural District as you take over the directorship?
Well, first of all, I look at downtown Ames and I see how wonderful it is. When you look across the country, you see other downtown areas that are struggling. They're abandoned. Their buildings are dilapidated. And you look at downtown Ames, and it's just a wonderful environment. You have great places to shop, great places to eat. And so I would think that a main goal for anybody in my position would be to ensure that we do everything we can to maintain that.
And not take it for granted, because it wasn't always like that.
Exactly.
There was a time.
And, you know, in any situation, there is always room for improvement. I try to walk around and talk to people and business owners and people who have a stake in the downtown and find out where they think improvement needs to be made. I'm new to this community, and when I look at it, I think, wow, this is great. But if you've been here for a while, you know where improvement can be made. And so I like to talk to people and discover that. Of course, any Main Street program is about historic preservation and economic revitalization. And so we want to make sure that we keep our storefronts full and that we keep them occupied with businesses that complement what we already have. So those are two main goals that I would have.
So you're all about building momentum upon momentum.
Yes.
And understanding where the source of the energy comes from.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And in the interest of getting to know you a little bit better, excuse me, as a new member of the community and somebody who's going to have really something to offer in your work, can you tell us an event or a person that you have personally found inspiring that kind of forms a little bit who you are?
I would say person-wise, it would have to be my mother.
Yeah, tell us about her.
She's a wonderful person. She's a registered nurse. She has spent her life taking care of others. She's very, very selfless. And I would think that if I could be half as good a person as she is, that I would really be blessed.
So it's her spirit of service that inspired you?
Yeah, absolutely. She just does her best to take care of other people every day. Sometimes I have to pester her about making sure she takes better care of herself.
Uh-huh.
She always puts everybody before her. And I know that sometimes that isn't the best way to be, but for her it is. That's what really gives her joy. And like I said, if I could be half as good as she is, I think I would definitely be blessed.
So you're entering your work at the Main Street Cultural District as the executive director with a goal to really have a spirit of service?
Yeah, I really am. I like helping other people. I really enjoy brainstorming ideas with business owners and coming up with ways to make things better. I come up with 100 ideas a day, and if just one of those ideas work, then I have a success for the day. So
it's creativity as well as service.
Yes.
Creativity and service.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's we'll see what happens.
I hope good things.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHY Community Radio, and we're speaking with Cindy Hicks, Executive Director of Main Street Cultural District, about what to expect this summer and just getting to know you a little bit better, and look forward to having you come back regularly and keep us updated on what develops. And thank you for coming, and see you again soon.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with Greta Anderson on this Memorial Day. And we welcome David Rabine from the American Legion, who has joined us in the studio. David was formerly the National Commander of the American Legion. And it's great to have you with us, David.
I'm very glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
So we really should start to find out what exactly the national organization is and what you really did as the national commander.
The national organization is essentially nothing more than the consolidation of all of the local posts of the American Legion around the country. There's approximately 15,000 local posts, and so that consolidates up to the state organizations and to the national. The national organization does the lobbying in Washington, D.C. for veterans' benefits and national security issues. As the national commander, you're the chief spokesman. You're also the chief executive officer, but it's really the chief spokesman's job that is that's the primary function.
Now, the headquarters for the American Legion is in Indianapolis?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
But you were the commander from Ames. You're an Ames resident.
Right. The national commander becomes a quasi-employee for the year, but the national commander is always a volunteer, someone that has risen up through the ranks from a local post, demonstrated leadership, and then is elected to really represent the volunteers of the organization rather than to be one of the staff members of the organization, because there's so much that goes on out here in the local communities that it's important that the national commander has been a part of and understands and can connect back with these folks to provide leadership to the local legionnaires.
To really know the true nature of the heart of the organization.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the American Legion. How did it start? I think you have an anniversary coming up.
We do. We're coming very close to the 100th anniversary of the organization. as World War I was winding down, the leadership in of the U.S. military in Europe realized that there needed to be a veterans organization, something for the soldiers and sailors and Marines as they came home to get involved with. But more than that, because so many of their comrades, their buddies, were coming home with real problems because of the poison gas. There were many people that weren't, many men that weren't going to be able to work anymore.
This is World War One.
This is World War One, and so there was a meeting in Paris in the spring of 1919, and then there was another meeting in St. Louis that summer to form the organization. Teddy Roosevelt Jr. was one of the real founders, and then the Roosevelt family is still involved with us today. His grandson, Teddy Roosevelt IV, is the chairman of one of our honorary committees for the centennial. Hmm. First National Convention was held in Minneapolis on Armistice Day, as it was known then, in 1919, and the organization has grown from there to something over 2 million members, and as I said, 15,000 posts. We've become a very viable community organization. That's really what I think helped the organization get established out here, was they understood very early we had to do community service. We couldn't just do veterans benefits.
So at heart, it's a locally focused organization that focuses really, each post is very individually involved with its own community?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The national organization sets policy. Broad policy, does the lobbying, but what a post chooses to do out here in the local community may be the only post doing that in the organization, but they see a community need and they fulfill that need. I'll give you a quick example. We are involved for the last 25 to maybe pushing 30 years now. We've been involved with the local school system here, the Ames High School. We do an academic award ceremony, where the top students in the junior and senior class receive an academic letter, very exactly like the athletic letters, only with the lamp of knowledge. That's a program we fund and we do jointly with the Ames school system.
And the goal is to promote respect for education and accomplishment?
The goal is that, and to reward, provide an incentive, the same kind of incentive that you see on the athletic teams, that letter and that letterman's jacket, provide that same incentive and reward for the academically,
mm-hmm.
for those folks that have worked hard to excel academically.
Mm-hmm. Now the post in Ames is local 30, post 37.
We're post 37.
Post 37.
That number,
37. Yeah, what's the number?
That number comes about each state as the organization was forming, as a community turned in the list of members that wanted to form an American Legion post, they were numbered sequentially.
Per state? So it's 37th in Iowa, not
right.
37th in the country.
No, 37th in Iowa.
So we were the 37th American Legion group to be formed in Iowa.
In Iowa. Iowa was very active. There were 532 posts formed between June 12th of 1919 and December 31st of that year. So that's 532 communities where the veterans group banded together and said, we wanted this a good thing. We need this here.
Do you know why Iowa was so active?
Just because of the leadership that came back from a man by the name of Hanford McNider from Mason City was the third national commander of the American Legion.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that kind of leadership comes back home to the state and begins to lead here, it very quickly catches on.
Was this unusual? Does Iowa have more American Legions than most states?
Yes. Huh. Yes, we're in the top. I think we're easily in the top 15, maybe in the top 10. I haven't looked at the numbers lately. But there was only, at that time, there was only two other states that formed more posts in that in that first year.
Okay, so the post in post 37 is here on Main Street. It's next to, if I remember correctly, it's between Worldly Goods and Cafe Diem.
You're right. You're exactly right.
It's the only building on Main Street with a flagpole in front of it, right?
Right.
You have a special dispensation to have a flag?
We went to the city council. There was a tree there at one time, and we went to the city council and asked for permission to have the tree removed to let us put a flagpole on Main Street, because As veterans, we have a very strong feeling for the American flag, because we all served under that flag, and we just thought it was appropriate to have that flag flying out in front of the post.
Yeah, I think you're the only folks who have a flag
flying, other than the
post office, I guess. Yep. And is American Legion a nonprofit organization, or what is the structure?
We are. We're not exactly a nonprofit as you normally think of a 501c3. We have a different designation under the 501c code, but that we have a different designation because most nonprofits cannot lobby Congress.
So we have a
different designation that allows us to be nonprofit but still do the lobbying functions on Congress for veterans issues and national security issues, the VA primarily.
Mm-hmm. So tell us what happens at Post 37. What is the purpose and the meaning?
The purpose is like any other American Legion post. It provides a place for veterans to get together to share common experiences. I'm sure you've heard much talk about the PTSD and TBI problems as our young men and women come home mm-hmm. from Iraq and Afghanistan.
PTSD is post-traumatic stress.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Disorder. Yeah. And the second thing?
TBI is traumatic brain injury. Uh-huh. It happened. It's the same thing you see in the National Football League, the concussion problem,
mm-hmm.
because as they're caught in blasts, your head is knocked around and the brain rattles around in there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those folks, and I'll tell you, I have an uncle that came home from World War II for years, could not talk about his experiences during the Battle of the Bulge.
Mm-hmm.
We try to provide a safe place where folks that are having trouble dealing with what happened can find other people like themselves.
So it's a social space.
A social space, a place where they can connect with other people with shared experience.
And I know you do other services too as an organization. Can you outline a little bit what you do?
We're very involved in community service. I talked about the academic mm-hmm. awards ceremony. We also have two affiliated groups, the American Legion Auxiliary and the Sons of the American Legion. Between the three of us, we sponsor young men and women to American Legion Boys State and American Legion Auxiliary Girls State. We have been involved with the Boy Scouts here in Ames in the past. That's not currently a program that we're involved in, but we're very involved with the Boy Scouts.
And there's always been a relationship to baseball, right, with the American Legion?
American Legion baseball nationwide is a mm-hmm. very strong program.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa, it is not, because Iowa is the only state where high school baseball plays in the summertime.
Uh-huh. So I
grew up in Nebraska. We played high school baseball. The season was over when the school year ended.
Uh-huh.
And so then we all moved to the American Legion team and continued to play in the summer. There are, I think, about 6,000 American Legion baseball teams nationwide that play clear up through the American Legion World Series that happens late July, early August in Shelby, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, I think, about a third of the Major League Baseball players are graduates, alumni of the American Legion baseball program.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's part of the goal to support Americans, what you call Americanism?
Yes.
Is that right?
The Americanism can be a difficult thing to define
mm-hmm.
because it's not patriotism.
Uh-huh.
They're not the same. Americanism is the fundamental principles of our way of life.
So it's culture.
Our culture. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's the respect for the American flag. It's the respect for each other. It's the ability for someone in this country to be able to make of themselves whatever their talent, whatever their motivation wants them to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the American spirit,
right?
Yeah.
It's what helped me come off of a farm in eastern Nebraska out of a one-room school, and eventually become a staff member at a major research institution like Iowa State University. So that's Americanism, and mm-hmm. that's what we try to promote and support and make sure stays alive.
Yeah, you were a researcher at Ames Laboratory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So tell me why you, or tell us why you work with the American Legion and obviously you've cared a lot about it. You've done a lot of service there. What does it mean to you?
When we got started in the American Legion here in town, and it really was – well, let me back up two steps. My wife has been part of the American Legion family all of her life. Her father was a 100% disabled World War II veteran, eventually passed away because of what had happened to him during World War II. So she's been very involved all of her life. When we came to town and we got involved with the local folks here, it was exactly – I didn't have trouble talking about my experiences because I spent my service time in Germany. But when we walked into the American Legion post, it was a group of people that we could connect with. And so there were very quickly friendships made, and it's not long then after that that you become involved in the work of the organization. I went to a couple of – I joined. I went to a couple of the first meetings to see what the organization was about, and I've been going to their meetings and been active in the organization ever since. I've very, very much enjoyed being part of the post here in town. It's a great place. Great people.
And what does Memorial Day mean to you?
I think about the two guys from the class in front of me that didn't come home from Vietnam. My high school, we had about 50 in a class. I was drafted in 1969 that summer, and about 6 weeks before I left, we lost two of our guys.
So you think about them.
So I think about them. I think mm-hmm. about all the families.
Their families.
Because we lost friends, but they lost family members.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So if I get a little emotional about it, that's mm-hmm. why.
Yeah.
I think about the struggles that my wife's family went through because their dad was suffering.
How was he suffering?
He developed malaria.
Mm.
And he had some other injuries, but he spent the last 11 years of his life in and out of VA hospitals.
And that was a result of his active service?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your personal feeling about it.
People should be able to talk about it.
They should be, yeah.
You know, that's a lot of the – we hear very much about the suicide problem,
mm-hmm.
the folks that are coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan and – this is only my personal uneducated opinion. I think a fair amount of that stems from the fact that, like my uncle, it is so difficult for people to talk about because the experiences that they've had, you and I not being there, we can't relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be able to find somebody that they can safely communicate with. That's you know, it's not judgmental. It's just sharing that experience and leaving some of that guilt behind because there can be a great deal of guilt.
Yeah. Is anybody welcome at the American Legion who's done service?
Yes. Well, no, not exactly. We are a wartime veterans organization.
Uh-huh.
So we have a set of eligibility dates that have to be met in order for someone to become a member of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
It was set up that way.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, the World War I folks hoped that the organization would die with them, but obviously that didn't mm-hmm. happen. World War II came along, and we continue to have periods of conflict. So when we do, right now, anyone that's served since the early 90s is eligible for the organization.
You have a website where you can be found?
Yes, we do. Unfortunately, I can't give you the –
Well, probably if you Google American Legion.
Yes.
Post 37,
yep. Right. Yeah.
The national website is www.legion.org.
Okay.
And so that's a good place to start. The state website is ialegion.org.
Okay.
And if you Google American Legion Post 37, I'm sure it'll pop up very quickly.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And I see we are running out of time. So we need to close up the show. Thank you so much, David, for joining us.
I appreciate the invitation, Ursula, Greta. It's been a great experience. Thank you for thinking of us. And
thank you for your service, as always. Thank you. Okay, you're listening to Local Talk on KHY Community Radio, and I've been one of your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with Greta Anderson, and we've been speaking with David Rabein from the American Legion, who is an integral part of hosting the Memorial Day ceremonies here today in Ames. Thank you for coming, and again, thank you for your service, David.
We spoke earlier with keynote speaker for the Memorial Day ceremony, Brigadier General Jennifer Walter, Chief of Staff of the Iowa Air National Guard, and also Cindy Hicks, new Executive Director of the Main Street Cultural District, gave us an update on fun stuff being planned for the summer here in the downtown Ames area.
Music you heard today on our show, it was Stand By Me by Tracy Chapman. It was a cover by Tracy Chapman and the Righteous Brothers singing Unchained Melody. As always, our theme song for Local Talk is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kay Shelley. Our engineer has been Richard Morrison. And if you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. This show airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on KHOI at 89.1 on the FM dial. You can also hear this show and all of the past local shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, and you'll see listing of our guests and resource contact information.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. We hope you enjoy your day today. We thank you for listening and see you again on the radio.
Still my